Hello, everyone, and welcome to the MetLife podcast series. My name is Julio Kajigas, and I'm the New South Wales and ACT State Manager of MetLife. Today, I would like to welcome brother and sister Mia and Ben Johnson from Keyman Financial Services to the podcast. Both Mia and Ben have been in the industry for the last couple of years and are currently halfway through their professional year. I thought it'd be a good opportunity to hear from both of them around how they found themselves in the industry, get some of their observations, as well as dive into their experience into the professional year. So welcome, Mia and Ben, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Julio. It's such a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Julio. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. Look, I think just to start off with, can you tell me how you ended up in the industry and a bit about the business you're working and as well as, you know, what sort of things you do there?
Yeah, of course. I think my earliest memory of this industry was I was probably in grade one. I remember I had to do a presentation about my dad. I think it was a who's your hero type of presentation. And the only thing I remember from that entire presentation was saying the word superannuation as a six-year-old. And I felt like an absolute legend. And from that point to turning probably 18 or 19 was the only experience I had with the entire financial services industry. But I was studying business at the time, business leadership and commerce, and I was working part-time in retail. And Dad said, you know what, Ben, I think it's time that you started to learn the business. I'm like, Dad, you taught me this one extremely long word 10 years ago. I don't really want to get that technical with things. But I said, you know what, I'll give it a go. And that was 4 years ago now. And I've been loving the industry ever since. And that degree then fed into, you know, doing the graduate diploma of financial planning and now being halfway to becoming licensed. So it's been a bit of a journey, but.
Mm-hmm. And for me, it was kind of a similar story. I definitely fell into the industry by accident. I actually studied something completely different and very, very unrelated to the financial services industry. I studied communication. So I was invited by my dad just to, you know, work in the business, doing some admin, just really back office type of thing. And then I guess over the years, I just really started to realize the power in what we do and how much I loved the industry. So it was really a no-brainer going from, you know, just working in the business to becoming an advisor. So yeah, it was definitely not intentional, but I'm very, very thankful that it happened.
I think both of our first roles were shredding and then scanning came next.
And ordering PDFs.
Ordering PDFs, yep.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. So, Ben, doing a presentation at school, how old were you again, sorry?
Oh, probably six or seven, if that.
Six or seven, and talking about superannuation, I've got to say I've never heard anything like that before. But
it was legendary.
Very good. Very good. Hopefully I didn't ask you to spell it. That would have been pretty hard for us.
I remember trying to pronounce it, superannuation.
Very good. Tell me a little bit about your current roles right now.
Sure.
So pretty much at the moment, Ben and I, we really do a bit of everything. And I think that's one of the, you know, really positive things about the professional year is that you get an understanding of the entire process. So from the second a referral comes in to the second a policy is put into force. And I should probably say as well that we're actually risk insurance specialists. So, you know, we don't try to be everything to everyone. We're very, very focused on risk. So at the moment, Ben and I, we kind of deal with a bit of everything. It's, you know, everything from back office, calling the new referrals, building a bit of rapport with them. We do the fact finds, pretty much, I mean, everything bar giving advice at this point.
Sure. And that's the same for you, Ben. I think you guys sort of split things a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, very similar to what Mia said. Mia handles, you know, predominantly most of our claims side of things as well. I don't have too much dealings in that. But I also look after all of our client reviews. So any in-force, you know, policies that come through and any advice that's generated from that, I work with Dad pretty closely, where Mia tends to focus a lot more on the complete new business and new clients. And the reason we do that is it's just, you know, separation of roles. It just gets pretty messy if you're trying to do everything all the time. Whereas if you have that, you know, that initial separation, it's just a lot easier to manage, you know, just the day-to-day type of things. But it's also a good experience to learn and play to our strengths. So like Mia, I guess when you first started, was lacking confidence in talking to clients from the get-go. And so, you know, focusing on new business has really helped you do that. Whereas for me, my struggle was, okay, I'm way too technical when I deal with clients. So, you know, reviews are such a good opportunity because most of the technical aspects are already taken care of in the past. And it's more kind of refining and getting to know the changes in situation, things like that. But our roles are so similar. Like we kind of just, you know, go back and forth off each other all the time.
Yeah, fantastic grounding, isn't it? Really, to be able to do that and learn the ropes and learn anything about the, you know, insurance and so on. It's a great way to start. Oh, I guess my next question for you is around the next stage for you, both of you, and that is becoming an advisor. And I'm interested in understanding the process you went through around thinking, I want to go to the next level and I want to start, you know, looking after clients myself and giving advice and so on. Is there a particular trigger or anything that made you go down that line?
I think for me, there was definitely a specific moment that I remember was kind of the trigger for me to definitely commit to being in the industry long term. I don't think it was necessarily the moment I decided to become an advisor or anything, but it was definitely when I knew I wanted to stick around in the industry. And that was actually my first claims experience. I think it was about a month into my new job at Keyman, and I had really just started learning the basics of insurance. And we actually got a trauma claim paid, and it was about, I think, over 600 grand at the time. And Dad took me out to the Northern Beaches. We went on a drive out there, and I was, you know, really, really lucky to sit there as Dad delivered the check. And it was really the first time I'd seen what our dad does and how it works when you need it to. And I think for me, it was a really, really powerful experience. And it's really been an anchor for me in everything that I do, because, you know, we always base everything off the principle that, you know, a claim could happen tomorrow and we need to advise as if the client were going on claim tomorrow. So with that in mind, I think, yeah, it's definitely helped me. I don't think that was the moment I decided to become an advisor, but that was the moment when I knew this industry rocks. It's awesome. Yeah. I want in.
It was definitely like a natural progression. Like, I know in many cases, in many other businesses, it's like, oh, that's just the next step. You know, I'm a senior advisor. It's time for me to move on in the next couple of years. I've got to get someone new on. And that is kind of like a very clear cut transition. But for us, from the moment we started working in the business, you know, we felt so blessed because our business has given us such a great life, has given our parents such a great life. It's helped so many clients that it's not so much of an obligation, but it felt like just such the right thing to do is taking that next step to be able to give advice, because at the end of the day, that's really how you help the most amount of people. You can be in a paraplanner or an admin worker, but at the end of the day, that's not what's actually helping people. Obviously, it helps the process, but it's not actually giving people the advice that they need.
Sure. I mean, I think just thinking through your answers there, what a great experience to go through and see the outcome of putting insurance in place for someone and what it actually does. I've been in the industry for nearly 20 years and talking to a lot of advisors over the years. Some of them have never had a claim, for example. So for you to see that firsthand must have been, you know, a huge impact on what you do and I guess your decision to go forward in this industry. So that's fantastic.
Well, at the end of the day, that's all that matters, right? Is just, you know, what happens exactly in claim time.
Exactly right, Ben. You're spot on. I'm interested in understanding a little bit more around your move over to the advising side of things. Mm-hmm. Two bits. What have you found challenging? And also, what have you found that has been, you know, really helpful or valuable?
Great question. We were brainstorming this before, actually. And the hardest thing for me by far is soft skills. And I think it's the same for most young advisors. You know, we're coming straight out of university. This is a very technical industry. There's so many intricacies to it. And so it's like, oh, I have to know this. I have to know the difference between TPD definitions. I have to know all the intricacies of PDSs. In reality, clients, number one, it goes straight over their head almost all of the time. But two, they don't really care. All they want is peace of mind. And so being able to communicate that and actually having those soft skills for me was really, really difficult when I first started. Obviously, the more and more you interact with clients and the more we sit in on meetings and the more we help with advice, that tech kind of fades away and you kind of get through to clients a lot more easily. But that's what I found really, really challenging. So the thing that helped that the most, though, was surrounding myself with Dad a lot more and actually interacting with clients more regularly, because that obviously puts you in a position where you have to start, you know, changing your communication styles and knowing what to focus on at the right times.
Sure.
I think for me, the biggest challenge has probably been growing a bit of a thick skin. I know at the beginning of, my career in the industry, I was so incredibly nervous to talk to certain types of clients and personality types. And over the years, and I guess as our confidence has grown, it's definitely become easier. But I think the hardest thing has definitely been being able to communicate effectively with different types of clients, because it's very easy to fall into the trap of being good at talking to a specific type of person or a specific personality type. But in reality, that's just not the way business works. We, you know, deal with tradies, we deal with CEOs. There's such a great degree between the types of clients we deal with. So being able to, yeah, use our soft skills to effectively manage and communicate with them has been probably the biggest challenge for me.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best benefits of having two of us, in all honesty, is like, it's a bit of a luxury to be able to, you know, put either one of us with a certain type of personality. So like a lot of the business insurance we do and the shareholder stuff, I'll look after with Dad just because of, you know, the technical and kind of straightforward nature of my personality, where Mia is so well suited to like young families, young people who really want to understand the advice through and through and go through the whole kind of process that way. So I feel so lucky that we can share like our strengths in that way.
The best of both worlds. That's perfect. No, that's good. And I think the soft skills thing, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. I think it's a skill that has certainly lost its way in our industry, and something, one of the issues that we really need to work on, along with bringing new advisors into the industry. They're two of the majors, in my opinion.
There's an old quote actually that my dad always says. I'm going to read it because I know I'm going to butcher it, but it's, you know, the industry is 95% soft skills and 5% technical, but you have to know 100% of the 5%.
Spot on. I've heard that one before and I really like it. It nails it actually. Both of you are very lucky in that, you know, you've gone into a business with Terry, your dad, and you've got someone that's been doing it for a long time, and you can become a bit of a sponge and just learn, you know, like you guys said, around the soft skills and all that sort of thing. I'm also interested in hearing from you around any other type of help or support that you have had over the years or that you go to, I guess, to increase your skills and your knowledge base and how to deal with clients and so on.
I would say for me, there's probably two big ones in particular. So the first one would be actually our BDMs. I feel really lucky to have worked with some fantastic BDMs at the moment and in the past. And I think it's really easy to kind of gloss over the benefit of having a really, really great BDM. I find it really hard to wrap my head around the technical side of things. And I think for me, the thing that's helped me the most is having really good relationships with our BDMs and building those relationships so I can go to them whenever I have questions about the technical side of things. And then I'd say the other thing is definitely leaning into, I guess, some of the, we would call them legends of the industry. We've been really lucky. Dad's quite heavily involved in MDRT and he's been, a longstanding member. And through that, we've been really lucky to come across some, you know, excellent advisors in the industry and the people who we would, you know, have no hesitation calling living legends of the industry. Yeah. So, you know, people who are not only fantastic at what they do, but they're such people of integrity. I think that's so, just so important. And it's really, really valuable to surround yourself with people like that and learn as much as you can from them.
I think one thing to add to that as well is if you're someone who is trying to seek, I guess, advice or assistance in that way, you really have to be genuine and you really have to genuinely care about your industry and the clients because, you know, like Mia said, these legends have been around for a long time. Like they read straight through you. And if you're the type of person who just wants to milk people for all the advice and kind of, I guess, experience that they have, they're going to read straight through you. So you really have to have like a genuine passion to want to know more and they'll reciprocate that to you. But yeah, MDRT, especially some of the guys who have been around for a really long time have been huge inspirations and huge support just in a general sense, you know, not even in a technical or advice sense, just even in a life sense.
I think personally for me, like it's really humbling to be around people who have been in the industry for so long and who have so much experience. Because I think, you know, as a young advisor, even when you do have really, really good technical knowledge and you're good at what you do, when you meet people like some of the MDRT members, you're really kind of taken back and you're like, wow, I still have so much to learn and there's so many ways that I can improve. So I find that to be really humbling and it kind of brings me back down to earth. And that's what I love about the industry is how you can forever be improving and doing things better and, you know, getting better outcomes for your clients. So I think that's super important.
And it's not just MDRT as well, though, you know, if you provide your time to, you know, various committees like we do at the AFA and things like that, it's you start to notice this trend of people who are actively engaging in the industry. It's like they're the people you should be drawn towards, not these kind of flaky people who rock up to a beers event and then go home. It's the people who you can tell genuinely care about the industry and their role. And they're like, they're the people you should be gravitating towards and trying to learn from.
You know, you've touched on some really good points there about as far as reaching out to associations and so on, but also learning from the guys that have done it for 30-odd years. They know how to talk to clients, they know how to position things, and it goes back to your point before, Ben, around the 95% soft skills, 5% technical, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that's really, really fantastic that you're able to reach out and get help from other areas outside of, you know, your dad, obviously. Just interested in understanding, if you were talking to someone that's looking to become a brand new advisor, and I know you guys are sort of going through that process at the moment, but would you have any tips that you would give them?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I would say is not to underestimate the power of what you do. I think when we're in the industry and when you're kind of fully into it, it's so easy to lose sight of the big picture because you get caught up in, you know, the best strategies and the best products and things like that. But I would say, honestly, like there is so much power in what we do and we literally change lives. It's so funny. Our sisters just said to us last night, "Wow, I really understand what you guys do now. And you guys are pretty important." And we were like, yeah, I mean, what you do is pretty significant and it does help people out when they need it most. So I would say for a young advisor, just don't lose sight of, yeah, just the sheer power of insurance and what we do and the fact that we're selling peace of mind to people. So yeah, that would be my best tip.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is especially for advisors coming into the industry who want to focus on risk is have an abundance mindset. You know, there's so much out there for everyone. And if you do take, you know, care and heart in what you do, you know, business will come to you. So don't be, you know, so wound up in, you know, I have to get as many referrals as possible and I have to churn business as quickly as I can and I have to get everything in force ASAP. You know, it's like, take your time. I guess, you know, really just have an open mind towards opportunities that come your way and, you know, just be humble about it.
Now, look, I know that you've only been in the industry for a short number of years for both of you, but is there anything that you wish you had known prior to getting involved in this industry? Anything that you wished, also I wish someone had told me that or give me some tips around that?
Yeah, I got a good one. It's an incredibly emotional industry. You really have to be prepared to emotionally attach yourself, particularly to your clients, because I don't know if a weekend goes past that I'm not thinking about a claim or a client that's sick or an underwriting case that really should be enforced because, you know, these people have kids and families and businesses. So don't think that it's going to be super easy and it's going to be the type of job that come 5, you close your computer down and it just goes off your mind because you really do build these really long-term and caring relationships with your clients. And I think people need to prepare themselves for that because every other, you know, role and profession out there, it's, you know, I'm done for the day. Can turn it off.
Yeah.
Monday will come back. But, you know, in insurance, people rely on you and you kind of have to be there for them.
Hmm. Yeah. I would say for me, thing would be probably, again, not to underestimate the power of having a really positive attitude about things and being optimistic, because I think, you know, at the moment, the way that the industry is, we've gone through so many hard changes. And I think the thing that has really determined whether people are going to stick around and be in it for the long haul or, you know, kind of cut their career short is really a positive attitude about things. I think if you can go into all of the requirements and compliance and everything, you know, with a good mindset, I think that really makes all the difference. It makes your life so much easier and it makes such a hard thing a lot easier as well.
I know it's a bit technical as well, but in terms of like the professional year, don't feel like it's going to be this huge burden or anything like that. In reality, it's kind of like a blessing in disguise because you're forced to keep track of the roles and tasks that you're doing, which A, helps you better manage your time. It helps you grow, you know, as a professional. It helps you become a better advisor. And it's not like what everyone thinks where, oh, I have to start quarter one and I have to go back to doing back office tasks. Like they're going to honor the role that you're doing now, knowing that you're competent if you have those skills already. So don't be afraid of the actual, I guess, compliance and requirements of the professional year if you are wanting to come into it.
Well, that leads me on to the next question, which is about the professional year. Ben, you've obviously touched on it a bit there. I'm interested in hearing from both of you, Ben. I don't know if you've got anything else to add, and from yourself, Mia, just around your experience so far, how you're finding it, any sort of tips that you can give anyone that's thinking of doing the professional year. I'd be keen to hear about that.
Yeah, of course.
I think for me, probably the thing that I've enjoyed most about it is just the fact that it's really formalized everything that we were already doing. So now that we do have to keep a logbook and we do have to, you know, really be mindful of every single thing that we do throughout the day, I've really enjoyed that process. And it's gotten me to think about how, okay, even though this task is so little and it seems so minute and unimportant, it's actually going to benefit me so much as an advisor, because you're going to understand the whole process and you're going to know really like the whole business and the whole process. So yeah, I've honestly really, really enjoyed the professional year so far. I think it's been really valuable. Yeah. What about you, Ben?
I think a big thing for me, especially like Mia said, is we were already doing a lot of what we're doing in the professional year, but it almost highlights to you the areas that you should learn more about. So for me, it was underwriting, for instance. Like prior to the professional year, I did not touch underwriting. I'm like, Mia, this is straight on to you. But because I've now gone through this year and I've been like, okay, these are the competencies I need. Oh, but I don't know anything about underwriting. Oh, I may as well learn something about underwriting because it's going to help me later. It might not be my role every day, but it's really important for me to learn that. And it's just very clear the exact kind of areas where you find yourself lacking because you're now involved in the whole process. Whereas you're no longer just this, you know, person who's doing tasks. You're looking after the whole advice process with your supervisor. So you're working really intricately throughout every step of the process. Whereas I know many businesses are set up in a way that it's just kind of like where you pass the baton on, you know, it's, oh, I'm finished the SOA. Okay. That now goes to the paraplanner who's going to look after underwriting. Now it's back to the advisor to do the meeting. But because you're so intertwined with everything, you're just learning so much. But again, don't feel afraid of a logbook, because in reality, you do it, you know, one afternoon a week and it takes you 10 minutes on our good weeks when we actually do it all time. But, you know, apart from that, Q1, Q2, like we breezed through it. We're already halfway through it and it feels like yesterday that we started it. It's been no burden whatsoever on us. The other thing is the exam as well, though. Just try and book in as early as possible and get it done, because, you know, for fresh out of uni kids like us, it's a breeze in terms of prep. The exam for me was incredibly difficult, but we both passed, thankfully. So it's just kind of knocking it over. But again, don't be afraid of that either. Like, everyone's done exams at some point in their life. It's just another thing that you have to do. But like that old bison tail, you know, hit the storm head on and just get through it as fast as you can.
Yeah. Okay. Good points there. Now, knowing both of you, I'm pretty sure you both thought about, you know, what the future holds for both of you in this industry. What does that look like?
Good question. That's actually a hard question.
It is. It's hard to say, because as you guys know, we work so closely together, and because we're, you know, such a small family business, it's really interesting to think about. But I think at this point of our careers and where we're at in the professional year and everything, it's really highlighting to us where our passions lie within the industry. So obviously, I mean, we're specialized enough, like we're risk only, but even within that, it's starting to show us what we're really passionate about. So for me, it's definitely claims. I definitely would love to step up into more of a claims advocacy role. That's definitely my long-term dream. And for Ben, what would that be for you?
As soon as business cover comes up, I'm always jumping on it. I'm like, Dad, I'll look after this one. But I'm definitely a lot more of a technical person than Mia. So even some elements of investments and financial planning are becoming more like apparent to me, just in ways of just generally helping clients. Like, I know retirement planning is not for me, pensions not for me, none of that side of thing, but helping young people in particular understand money is increasingly becoming something very attractive to me. But I think our heart's always going to be in risk. You know, it's the reason why we're in business. It's the reason why Dad's in business. It's the whole reason why we live the lives that we do, is it all comes down to life insurance. And I think because me and Mia are now, you know, part owners in Keyman, and we're kind of solidified our succession plan, is we're here for the long haul. So I don't think in terms of moving on from the industry or progressing to a very different role in the industry is going to come about. I just think that we're going to grow as advisors, grow our skill sets, grow, you know, like what Mia said, the areas that we're more passionate about.
I think we've covered a fair bit. Fair bit of ground during this podcast, but I'm keen to sort of come back to you and just ask you, is there anything in particular, any thoughts or anything else that you'd like to leave us with?
I think it comes back to something my dad always used to tell me, actually, and it's that this is the best industry if you want to work hard, and it's the worst industry if you don't want to work hard and if you want to lounge around. And like I said before, you know, in like you're combining professional years, compliance, helping clients, actually doing work day to day, working on your actual business. Like, there's a lot involved in it. And so you really have to be prepared to commit to it and to really be passionate about it. Because if you're not, you're just going to waste away. You know, it's going to be a year of income protection changes and you're going to get bogged down. You're going to be like, there's no point in doing any of this. You know, it's not worth it. The other thing I'd say as well is just remember long-term relationships with clients. You know, I know lots of advisors think that they need to value all of their time up front and charge a lot of money for it. But in reality, if you give up a little bit on the front end, you're going to have clients for a very, very long time. So don't be like what Mia was saying before, don't be so caught up in the short term of things, because it really is a long-term commitment and a long-term, almost like a life decision. Because like I said, you know, you have to be around for your clients. You know, they trust you and they rely on you. So you have to be there for them.
Thanks, Ben. And Mia, anything else from you?
I would say, honestly, at the end of the day, I guess my interactions with clients, like I always try to kill them with kindness, so to speak. Like we really, really do try to be, you know, just incredibly nice and kind and caring to our clients. And I feel like to date, that's not let us down so far. So that's kind of my guiding principle in all client interactions. But yeah, I think just keep a positive mental attitude about everything, because, you know, I know we've just gone through a lot of changes, but there definitely will be more changes to come. And as long as you can keep your attitude consistent, you know, no changes are going to get to you. So that would be, yeah, what I would leave everyone.
I think another thing to add as well, just quickly, is obviously like studying business, one of the things we're always taught is like friction. You know, trying to change and manipulate businesses can be a really hard thing to do. But in this industry, it kind of seems like you can shift and change like pretty rapidly, you know? So if you have a cool idea, or if you find a new piece of technology you want to implement, or you meet someone who mentors you in a really amazing way to change your advice processes, it's really, really simple to do that in most cases. Whereas, you know, if you own a fruit shop, if you want to change the layout of the store, it's this huge upfront cost and investment, when in reality, you can shift and move your business. And it's just, it's a really great opportunity to grow as a professional and as a person.
Fantastic. I'd like to thank both of you for your time. I've really, really enjoyed listening to both of you speak about all these different aspects of the industry. And listening to both of you speak, you know, the one thing that's very obvious is the passion you both have for the industry, which is just so good to see. I think that if we can get more young people like you, Ben and Mia, in the industry, I think we're in really good hands. So again, I just wanted to thank you for your time for this podcast and wish you both the very best for the future.
Thanks
so much, Julia.
Thanks so much for
appreciate it.
You've been listening to the MetLife podcast. To find out how you can partner with us, please visit metlife.com.au. This podcast has been prepared by MetLife Insurance Limited and intended for advisor and internal use only, and should not be provided to clients or attributed to MetLife in any advice provided. This material is intended to provide general information only and has been prepared without taking into account any particular person's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Any general information contained within or given during this podcast is not intended to be investment or financial advice, nor a recommendation to invest in a financial product or undertake any particular strategy or course. In accessing this podcast, you agree to MetLife's podcast disclaimer terms found at metlife.com.au.